This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that the average cost for a family of four to attend a professional baseball game is over $200? I'm Adam Kanner, founder of ScoreBig.com. We found a way to work directly with teams and venues to get their unsold seats and pass the huge savings on to you. On ScoreBig.com, when you successfully name a ticket price, on average, you'll save over 33% below box office price each time you buy, with no added fees or shipping charges ever.
And now save even more at ScoreBig.com. Click on the radio mic and enter code 8282. And we'll take an additional $20 off your ticket purchase. That's ScoreBig.com, promo code 8282.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Death and destruction in the West. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koshenka, it is Monday, September 14. Thanks for spending time with us. Here's what's up this hour.
A wildfire in the north central part of California has killed one person while destroying hundreds of homes. Thousands have fled. The governor has declared a state of emergency.
Germany is rethinking all those refugees. Suddenly, it's putting border control measures in place. European officials, by the way, are discussing the crisis today.
Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson has been climbing in the polls. Does it have anything to do with his calm demeanor?
And a preview of the new programs about to debut on TV this fall.
The premise is pretty much a show within a show. Kermit is the executive producer of a late-night show starring Ms. Piggy, and it's also done in the mock documentary fashion that was made so popular by The Office. So this is a big bet for ABC, and we'll see if they get a home run out of it or not.
Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Flint on big bets being made this TV season. We'll have his report in about 20 minutes. Raging wildfire in north central California has prompted thousands of residents to evacuate their homes and left four firefighters hospitalized. At least one person has died. Hundreds of structures have been destroyed, including many homes. The numbers could get worse since officials have not been able to get a full assessment. The fire in Lake County, about 100 miles northwest of Sacramento, quickly spread into nearby Napa County. By last night, the so-called Valley Fire had burned about 50,000 acres. Jeff Roberts is a fire captain with Cal Fire. He says the next 24 hours are critical.
Our guys are taxed. They're, you know, we work out here on the shift. We do 24 hours on. Sometimes we don't get our 24 hours off, and we're straight through.
Meanwhile, here's State Senator Mike McGuire.
This word of unprecedented is used quite often, but we have not seen a fire like this in decades. We are facing historic conditions in our communities.
Middletown, California, among one of the hardest hit communities. Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency for the Valley Fire. Meanwhile, another state of emergency was declared last week for a separate wildfire known as the Butte Fire, which is said to be now 20% contained. To Europe now, where Germany is basically calling a timeout to reassess all the migrants flooding in, a country that appeared to be so welcoming at first. Germany is going to introduce temporary controls on the Austrian border as Europe's largest economy struggles to cope with the massive influx. Under the European Union's open border rules, governments are allowed to introduce border checks in emergencies, and that's what Germany is doing. Republican presidential candidate and Ohio Governor John Kasich, meanwhile, addressed the issue on Fox News Sunday.
It's fundamentally a European problem, but I think there's some things we can do. Not beyond taking some of these people in, as long as we're sure who they are, I think we can provide some logistical support so people aren't losing their lives, and in addition, maybe some humanitarian aid.
About 40,000 migrants were expected to arrive in Germany this weekend alone, but local towns and cities are warning that many of the shelters that have been set up will reach max capacity. The temporary border controls were announced, by the way, just as European Union interior ministers will meet today in Brussels to try to find ways to cope with the escalating migration crisis. Overall, Germany, with that healthy economy and, of course, generous social benefits, expects 800,000 migrants to arrive this year. Still more evidence of declining voter satisfaction for traditional politicians. A new Washington Post ABC News survey finds businessman Donald Trump and retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson dominating the Republican presidential primary together accounting for more than half of the potential vote. At a campaign stop in Aiken, South Carolina, Dr. Carson played up his non-political background.
It's less stressful because politicians always have to have their finger up in the air saying, you know, which way is the wind blowing? What's politically expedient? And see, I don't have to do that.
On the Democratic side, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton continues to slide backwards. Her support has dropped 21 points since July. Most glaring, support among white women has fallen from 64% in July to less than half that now, 31%. That's the same as fellow Democrat Bernie Sanders, the Vermont senator.
It takes a village, it takes a community, it takes a congregation to lift us all up and to empower us to do our part.
Reminder, by the way, the next Republican debate is this Thursday. It's 8 o'clock Eastern, hosted by CNN from the Reagan Presidential Library in California. 11 minutes now after the hour. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Thanks for being with us. You may have noticed that many people spent the summer consumed by the loud, flashy, brash Donald Trump on TV as he promoted his Republican presidential run. But you may not have noticed the slightly under-the-radar rise by the calm, mild-mannered, measured-speaking Ben Carson, the retired neurosurgeon who's steadily securing ground. That prompted political reporter Caitlin Huey Burns at Real Clear Politics to explore, is nice making a comeback? She joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Caitlin, what about the two approaches?
The two could not be more different in personality, but they're both outsiders, you know, really surging in these polls. The difference in Ben Carson's appeal to Donald Trump's is, one, that he is taking a more tempered, laid-back, kind of nice approach, trying to convince people that he is a fixer, you know, that he has proven to fix problems that people haven't been able to before. I mean, namely, he was the first surgeon to separate conjoined twins at the head. So that's a remarkable feat. But the other thing about Carson is that he is a Christian conservative, and people sense some genuineness in that, especially in Iowa, where he is trying to compete for the nomination. Iowa, as we know, is a more conservative primary, and it's also where the evangelical base really matters and can turn out in droves if you can garner that support. So from people I've talked to in Iowa, they say that Carson's Christian conservative credentials are having more of an appeal compared to Trump, especially.
With regards to him being an outsider, how much of his appeal in Iowa is outsider, anti-establishment candidate versus, say, his quiet demeanor?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. Voters have said in these polls, and also, you know, in my travels in some of these early states, that they're looking for some kind of shakeup, that they're tired of the status quo, that they're tired of sending the same people to Washington. And so, as one local Republican conservative radio host told me for this story, is that people there, at least conservatives, are looking for someone that they've never voted for before. And Carson certainly stands out in that regard. He is not a politician. He's only recently really entered the political stage. And so he just brings a different kind of background to this whole thing. Now, Iowa is no stranger to outsiders. They've embraced them before. So there is question about whether these candidates can first, you know, sustain this momentum through the cold winter months, and until February when the voting actually happens, and whether they have the campaign infrastructure and organization required to really turn out caucus goers and get them to the caucuses when it is very cold in February in Iowa.
We're speaking with Caitlin Huey Burns, national political reporter at Real Clear Politics. She's got a piece entitled "Ben Carson Rising is Nice Making a Comeback." All right, so you mentioned before that he makes this claim that he's done things or gotten things done that nobody else has done before, like separating these conjoined twins. How does he say, for example, that being a neurosurgeon and getting things done in an operating room can translate into getting things done in the White House or on Capitol Hill?
Right. It's an interesting comparison that we really haven't heard from any other candidates, because there haven't been many with this kind of background. But the idea is that he is able to solve real problems. And so the kind of the storyline there is that he takes a different approach to things. The other important thing about his Christian conservative credentials is that he's also applied that to policy, which can appeal to evangelicals in Iowa.
Thanks, Caitlin. That is political reporter Caitlin Huey Burns from Real Clear Politics. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. As the seasons are about to change, are you ready to change your shaving habits? Because if you're not using Harry's, you're not getting the best value for your buck. You want to start the day off right, right? Looking sharp, feeling confident about how others perceive you at work, or maybe how they perceive you at happy hour after work. Get started with Harry's like I do. For listeners to this show, Harry's is giving $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with the coupon code DEAL. After entering my code DEAL at checkout, you can get Harry's starter set for just 10 bucks. It comes with a razor, plus three of Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades and shaving cream, all shipped right to your door for free. See, Harry's cuts out the middleman because it owns the factory that makes the blades. So say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables and say hello to Harry's, high-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code DEAL at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 by using the code DEAL at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code DEAL. 21 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
In a voracious wildfire has overtaken several Northern California towns, killing at least one person and destroying more than 400 homes and businesses. Jeff Roberts, fire captain with Cal Fire, says firefighters continue to battle the blaze north of San Francisco in Lake County.
If we can get past the next 24 hours, we'll be in a really big turning point, and we can start getting a line around this whole fire and start working interior on it.
The fires also destroyed two apartment complexes and 10 businesses. Most of the destruction occurred in the communities of Middletown and Hidden Valley Lake, as well as homes along a shuttered highway. Aspiring college students will be able to apply for federal financial aid 3 months earlier than now and submit a previous year's tax return. Changes aimed at helping more people pay for school. Under the current system, students planning to start school in the fall of 2017 must wait until January of that year to fill out the forms. The new system will let them complete the forms as early as October of 2016. Republican presidential candidate Scott Walker today will call for sweeping restrictions on organized labor, seeking to replicate nationwide his successful effort as Wisconsin's governor to curb the power of unions. At a town hall meeting in Las Vegas, Walker will propose eliminating unions for employees of the federal government, making all workplaces right to work unless individual states vote otherwise, scrapping the federal agency that oversees unfair labor practices and making it more difficult for unions to organize. Tony Romo saved his best for last after throwing two interceptions that turned into Giants points earlier in the game. Romo led the Cowboys on two scoring drives late in the fourth quarter to make amends as the Cowboys edged the Giants 27-26. Brad Sham had the call on 105.3 The Fan as Romo hit Jason Witten with an 11-yard game-winning score with seconds left.
Here's the snap, fumbled by Romo. Picks it up, has a shot in the end zone. It's caught! Jason Witten!
In some not-so-great news for the Cowboys, wide receiver Dez Bryant suffered a broken bone in his foot and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, man.
You're bombed.
That's too bad.
I hear it. Bad. I hear it in your voice.
I don't want to see a guy out like that.
No.
You know, whether you're a Giants fan or whatever, don't want to see a guy gone for that reason.
No.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, the new TV programs for the fall.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit barracuda.com/firewalls.
The arrival of mid-September, as you know, generally means the fall TV season is about to kick off. Your old favorites are hopefully returning. But also, there are lots of new bets being placed on programs making their debut. Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Flint is here with a look at some of them. Joe, what's ahead?
Well, there are a lot of new shows coming this in the next TV season. By my count, there will be 44 new sitcoms and dramas over the next 9 to 9 months or so. And some of the bigger bets in the fall from CBS, they have their first entry into the superhero world with Supergirl, and that will be on Monday nights starting in November. They're going to try to pump it up with a lot of promotion from Thursday night football, a lot of spots there, and then in November, it will launch. And we'll see how that goes for them. It's a different kind of show for CBS. It definitely has a younger feel, a little hipper. And it's sort of half superhero, half the devil Wears Prada.
Okay.
Because the character of Supergirl works at a magazine.
Got it. All right. What else made your list?
Well, the other one that a lot of people will be paying attention to is The Return of the Muppets on ABC. And that'll be on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. And, of course, the Muppets have been very popular in the past. The question is a new generation going to embrace them? And are there enough older viewers such as myself who have fond memories who will watch this latest version of them?
We're speaking with Joe Flint, Wall Street Journal staff writer. He's got a piece entitled Big Bets on the new TV season. What else is worth a mention here?
I think Fox has a couple of comedies that hopefully people will check out. I liked them both. The first one stars Rob Lowe. It's called The Grinder, and it's Rob Lowe and Fred Savage of the Wonder Years, and Lowe plays a TV lawyer, an actor who's made his career playing a TV lawyer, and then his hit series ends, and he moves back home to his small town with his family and his younger brother, who's an actual lawyer, and Lowe decides he wants to just be a real lawyer now. So the pilot was very promising. You just wonder if there's enough material there to stretch out for a series. And the other comedy on Fox that a lot of people like is called Grandfathered, starring John Stamos, is sort of a bachelor for life type who discovers not only does he have a grown son, but he is also now a grandfather, and how he sort of adjusts that life to the Joe Namath lifestyle he's been living.
Thanks, Joe. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Joe Flint. By the way, one thing to keep in mind, Blue Bloods on CBS returns for season 6 a week from this Friday. Hey, get to see Vanessa Reyes offer Jurjenko. That's worth the hour. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Monday, September 14. Some of our top stories and headlines. A California wildfire that began over the weekend has turned deadly and destroyed hundreds of homes.
While this fire continues to grow, it is not burning at the same intensity that it did just 24 hours ago.
Also breaking news, Kentucky State Police say a trooper was shot and killed overnight following a car chase. A Saudi banker is donating $10 million for an Islamic law center at Yale. The issue for some, the bank has been investigated for funding Al-Qaeda operations, and it was reportedly founded by Osama bin Laden. The story's on Breitbart. If you missed it, Rick Perry dropped out of the Republican presidential race over the weekend. Not one, but two Monday night football games this evening. Well, with so much concern about the amount of money in politics, elected officials being bought, and democracy for sale, Yahoo Finance set out to ask a basic question. Are rich donors buying election results? Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman has been exploring federal records on campaign donations in presidential and congressional campaigns from 2012 and 2014. Rick, give us some findings.
There's a ton of money going into the political campaigns this year, just as there was in 2014 and 2012. We sort of have this assumption that billionaire donors are buying election results. So I did a big study. I broke down a lot of government data on donations and campaign outcomes, election outcomes. And to answer basic questions, are rich donors really buying election results? And when you look at it, at the data, the answer is no, they're not. First of all, a lot of these guys who have a lot of money, they tend to back fairly strident right or left-wing candidates who just aren't that electable. So a lot of money goes to candidates on one edge or the other of their party who just have a hard time convincing mainstream voters to vote for them.
These are smart business people. I mean, they know the odds of this. Why do they continue to pump these millions and millions of dollars into politics?
I think it's a great question. And I've tried to ask some of these donors, and they just don't want to talk about it. And there's an interesting difference you see in donations that come from corporations themselves. Many big companies, probably most of the big Fortune 500 companies, they have what's called a political action committee that donates to candidates. And those donations from the corporation tend to be very pragmatic. Most of that money goes to incumbents who sit on, you know, the incumbents are the ones who sit on committees that make the rules, that influence these companies. They tend to support incumbents likely to get reelected because they know who's in office and they want to support the people who are likely to back issues that matter to them. When it comes to the individuals making donations just on their own behalf, not on their company's behalf, they don't donate in a pragmatic way. You can, when you look at the data, you realize they're not looking at candidates who have a legitimate shot to win and then betting in that way. They're basically backing candidates who have ideological similarities to them, and it doesn't work. They give a lot of money to people who really don't. The candidates who really don't have a chance to win even from the beginning.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's got a piece entitled "Why Rich Political Donors Are Wasting a Lot of Money." So explain some of the guys you profiled here and their poor winning percentages.
Well, you've heard some of these names. The biggest donor over the last two election cycles has been Sheldon Adelson and his wife Miriam. They've given almost $100 million to a bunch of different candidates. I calculated the winning percentage for the top 10 biggest donors. His winning percentage is 56% in terms of candidates. So that means of all the candidates he's backed, only 56% have actually won. If billionaires are buying election results, you would expect that to be a lot higher, and yet his winning percentage is only slightly better than a coin toss. Mm. Just as a frame of reference, if all you did was back incumbents, your winning percentage would be about 95% because right. Incumbents are likely to win about 95% of the time. The lowest winning percentage on our list is a guy named Joe Ricketts. He's the founder of TD Ameritrade, Chicago-based guy. His winning percentage is 33%. Only one in three candidates that he contributed money to actually won. And the highest is Mike Bloomberg. His winning percentage is 85%. Now, Bloomberg is an independent, and he seems to give money to a lot of candidates who are fairly middle of the road. They can be elected, in either Democratic or Republican districts, and they're likely to get elected.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, 21 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. By the way, don't forget to check out a daily podcast of this program. You can hear it on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on places like SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Coming up next, becoming a caregiver to an elderly relative. You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. You can use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all the thinking for you. With a digital scale, it will calculate the exact postage needed and help you decide the best class of mail. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Good Monday morning. Welcome aboard. What would happen if you suddenly had to take care of one of your parents or other elderly relatives? Are you prepared physically, emotionally, and financially? The caregiving need continues to grow. Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what's the basic gist?
It's a really terrifying concept when you start crunching all of these numbers and looking at the details, but the basic gist is that it's more and more likely that you're going to end up being a family caregiver. And what we're seeing is this combination of, as people are aging, we've got a larger cohort of older folks. A lot of them have not saved well for retirement, and then they are living longer, and a lot of them have healthcare problems. So, you know, in the end, they're unable to afford a lot of this, these paid care options like nursing homes or assisted living, which puts a lot of it on families. And younger generations are, a lot of them, much smaller. So when you look at, especially kind of going into the future, the number of potential family caregivers you have per aging person, it's dropping pretty rapidly from about 7 for every older person to about 3 they expect by 2050. And the bottom line ends up being, you know, you're very likely to be the person who ends up providing care for that older parent or other family member.
Well, I know you asked one person in your story, I think it was a woman, how much she may have spent kind of shuttling back and forth and doing all that other stuff. And she said, I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to know what my costs were.
That's true. And you know, for her, she was saying a lot of this is just, you know, this is what you do for people in your life. And it's a very common sentiment you hear from caregivers is they feel like, of course, you know, this is your responsibility, your family responsibility to take care of your parents and older relatives. And, you know, most consumers are more willing to help a parent than they would, say, a grown child. But you can't go into this just thinking that, you know, this is going to be about love and obligation. You do have to think about your potential cost and the impact to you on this, because otherwise this is a perpetuating cycle.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's got a piece about becoming your parents' caregiver, and it's called You'll Take Care of Me When I'm Old, Right? So what are you supposed to do if you are that caregiver who, I think the story points out, kind of falls in that range these days of somebody who's in the early 50s having to look after your parents? What's the guidance here?
Well, you know, you want to start thinking about your own limits particularly. You need to be able to save for your own retirement and make sure that you're set, and figuring out just what sort of help that you might be able to offer down the line, you know, whether that is, you know, in-person caregiving, whether that's just financial support, and really making sure that you're aware of that, and honestly just having a big open discussion with them, too, about what plans do they have in place? What do they want? Do they have long-term care insurance or some other benefit that might kick in that would help you figure out what is best to do?
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It's 14 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, to check us out on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the handle @ThisMorningShow. You can swap tweets directly with me at Gordon Deal.
You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.
Thanks for being with us. It's 9 minutes before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Transport and European Union interior ministers are meeting for emergency migration talks today, a day after Germany reintroduced controls at its border with Austria to stem the continuing flow of refugees. The ministers will try to narrow a divide over how to share responsibility for thousands of migrants arriving daily and ease the burden on Italy, Greece, and Hungary. Meanwhile, at least 34 people drowned yesterday off a Greek island in their attempt to enter Greece from Turkey. Greek authorities described it as the deadliest accident they had seen since the refugee crisis began. Whole blocks of houses are burned to the ground in Middletown, California, about 20 miles north of Napa Valley, where a fast-burning wildfire has sent residents fleeing. Daniel Berlant of CAL FIRE says firefighters are trying to get the upper hand.
While this fire continues to grow, it is not burning at the same intensity that it did just 24 hours ago.
400 homes have been destroyed, and one person in Northern California has been killed. Another police officer has been killed in the line of duty. A Kentucky State Police trooper was fatally shot last night on Interstate 24 in Lyon County. The suspected shooter remains at large and is considered armed and dangerous. Security forces carrying out anti-terrorism operations in the desert mistakenly killed at least 12 people yesterday, including tourists from Mexico and their Egyptian guides. The group had been in a convoy of four SUVs near an oasis in the area, a popular activity for tourists in Egypt, when a joint police and army unit fired on them. At least 10 others were injured. Taliban fighters stormed a prison early this morning in Afghanistan, freeing more than 350 prisoners and killing at least four police in the brazen attack. A suicide car bomb first struck the compound, allowing Taliban fighters dressed in Afghan police uniforms to enter. And The Perfect Guy and The Visit sailed past modest opening weekend expectations at the box office. The Perfect Guy secured first place with $26.7 million. The Sony Screen Gems film cost only $12 million to produce. The nail-biter The Visit, a $5 million production, took in $25.7 million.
You didn't see any of those this weekend, did you?
Football is on. No time for movies. No.
Jennifer does not leave the house generally on fall weekends. Did you go to the Rutgers game on Saturday?
Unfortunately, yes.
You did. And you suffered through that misery.
It was.
I'm texting Jen during the game. Oh, this is horrible. And then at the end, I'm like, hey, we made it. And then in the final seconds, oh, heartbreak.
Yep. Typical.
6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. So yesterday brought an unprecedented moment in the history of the NFL, as for the first time ever, a pair of quarterbacks who went 1-2 in the draft made their debuts against each other as starters. And as the Washington Post points out, things could hardly have gone more differently for them. Marcus Mariota for Tennessee got the ball first and wasted little time getting the ball into the end zone. His first pass was incomplete. His second went for 22 yards on a 3rd and 10. And his third pass was a strike to wide receiver Kendall Wright for a 52-yard touchdown. Then it was Jameis Winston's turn for Tampa Bay. And on his very first NFL pass, he threw a pick that was returned for a touchdown.
3rd down and 3 for Tampa Bay. Jameis' first pass intercepted. Sensible.
Winston did manage to throw a TD, but he also threw a second interception. Mariota, of course, 13 for 16, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Not the first time Mariota has owned Winston. You'll recall his victory with the University of Oregon, and they beat Winston's Florida State back in January in the college football playoff semifinal, 59-20. For Jennifer, I'm Gordon. Thanks for listening to This Morning. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.